Welcome to the Think Like a CFO podcast, where we dig into not only what it takes to start a business, but to keep your business thriving for years to come using my signature CFO money method framework. I'm your host, Melissa Houston, and I am a CPA and business financial coach. I have over 20 years of experience in business, and it is my passion to share my knowledge of business finance and personal finance with other women. You can also follow me with my column at Forbes.com or my column with Entrepreneur.com. Well, hello and welcome to another episode of the Think Like a CFO podcast. So today it's you and me, my friend, and today I am sharing my personal story with you. Maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't. I'm pretty open about this story. I've published a few articles about it, and I've talked about it a lot on webinars and guest podcasting and stuff, but it occurred to me that I had yet to share it with you, and you are my most important audience and listener, so I want to get real about some things and talk to you about my story. I'm a pretty private person, and I'm not huge on sharing things. But I really find there's a lot of value in sharing my story because getting into debt is a very personal thing, and most people feel a lot of shame and embarrassment around carrying debt, or maybe, you know, around their finances, and they don't really know how to manage their finances and stuff. And instead of asking for help, they just stew in that shame and embarrassment and feel bad, and the situation just worsens. So the reason why I decided to go public with my story and share it is because I know that if this happened to me, it'll happen to anybody. The debt levels have never been higher than they are today, and they keep increasing. And if this can help just one person feel less shame and more open to going out there and asking for help to get out of debt, then I've done my job. So let's begin. Personal finance management information, it's everywhere. We can find it absolutely anywhere. You can read about how to manage your money on the internet. There's tons of books written about it. There's tons of articles. They have money magazines. They have all sorts of stuff. There's tons of resources out there available to teach us how to manage our money. Yet, we don't seem to access it. The opportunity is everywhere. So why are North American household debt levels the highest that they've ever been? And why do we carry so much debt? Personally, I've been there, and this is why I'm talking about sharing my story today. I managed to spend $100,000 of credit that I didn't, like, this is money I didn't have. This was all on credit, and I spent $100,000 of it within a year. And the worst part is, I mean, it's bad that I spent $100,000, but the reality of it is, I'm a chartered professional accountant and I'm a money expert. I've been working with people for over 20 years, teaching them how to manage their money. So how is it that me, knowing better, and 19 out of 20 plus years, or 24 out of 25 years, or I had one bad year of not managing my money well. So I had done everything right up until this point. My husband and I, we had made a plan for our future. We agreed on how we were going to spend our money and how we were going to save it and what we would buy and what we would invest in and all sorts of stuff. So how did I get so derailed from this plan and just massively out of control? I've studied all things personal finance, and my husband and I, we followed our plan rigidly over the years. I knew better. And then it just blew up. It started slowly, where I would go on weekend shopping trips with the girls and buy stuff I didn't really need or want. And it felt good. Like, it felt good to go away with the girls. It felt good to spend and get all this stuff that, you know, to some certain level, it made me feel good. Whether it be for 15 minutes or a day, maybe a week, but it made me feel good. Didn't last long. I bought myself, you know, those expensive purses and nice shoes and nice clothes and whatever. I was spending money. Then it blossomed into a full-blown spending spree from hell. Like, literally. And there were a bunch of baby steps in the middle. But building up to that year of just financial disaster, I was spending money on maybe, you know, if I went away for the weekend, it would be like $1,000 I'd spend, or maybe $1,500 in a weekend. And then I started shopping online and buying some things, getting new stuff, shiny stuff, whatever. And then I got out of control and I hid $40,000 of this debt from my husband. Over time, I upgraded my spending habits. I started visiting sites like Pinterest, and I was thinking of beautiful, ridiculous ways to beautify my home because I pretty much, you know, the clothing and the purses and the shoes thing kind of wore out. And I really wanted to beautify my surroundings. That's what I kept telling myself. And I kept telling myself I worked so hard at a job that I earned really good money at. It was a good job. I was very lucky to have this job. And if you live in Ottawa, Canada, or you know what the government town is like, it was my golden ticket. I had a great job. But, you know, something was lacking. And I felt the need to just constantly buy my way to what I was missing. And I would look at these Pinterest sites and look at these houses and these yards and feel like I had to keep up with that because I had to uphold that image. I would look at landscaping ideas and stuff. And then somehow in my head, I decided that we needed a swimming pool in our backyard. Not the best investment. I'm an accountant. I know that when you install a swimming pool in your backyard, it doesn't increase the value of your home and it limits potential buyers. But we weren't planning on moving or anything. At this point, we didn't have a cottage. We had been looking, but we couldn't find one. We'd spent years looking. So I said to him, like, there's no cottages out there for us. We should really get a swimming pool. Swimming pools are super expensive. And it was an in-ground pool and it was a large pool and we got the waterfall in it and all sorts of stuff. And then we had to do the landscaping around it, the interlock, you know, replace the deck, do the shrubs, the blah, blah, blah. We got a shed. We got this. We got that. I mean, it just all added up. It was ridiculously expensive. And never mind that I had already managed to accumulate quite a bit of debt that I did not tell him about. So the pool thing wasn't the best idea that I had, but we did it. He followed me. He argued with me a bit on it. You know, I was persistent. I was like, no, no, the kids will love it. And if you've ever done a renovation like that, you know that large dollars go into it and it doesn't add value to the house. It's absolutely a sunk cost. No pun intended. So I carried a lot of hidden debt and a lot of shame around it. So when the swimming pool was installed and everything was done, I remember looking at it and I'm like, yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, I love it. But I didn't feel what I thought I would feel. I didn't feel any different. Like everything was just the same. So I'm like, okay, what's next? What else am I going to beautify? I knew what I was doing was wrong. I knew it was risky behavior, financially risky, because I knew that $100,000 worth of credit that I just managed to plow my way through put us that much further behind our financial plan. I knew this debt was going to cost a lot of money and interest expense as well. I knew I was making mistakes, but I just kept going. And I don't know why. Or at the time, I didn't know why. It made me feel good at the moment. I would get a little jolt of excitement from it, a little high, and then it would be gone as quickly as it came. Then I was on to the next item that excited me. But the pool thing probably went a little bit too far. And it all came crashing down to an end when the credit ran out. I was no longer able to hide this debt from my husband. I was essentially outed, and did I feel awful? And this is how it went down. It was awful. I had told him we needed to go to the bank for some papers to sign and stuff, right? I didn't even have the courage to tell him exactly why we were going to the bank, but the reason was we had to move around some credit and pull out some investments to pay off some debt. And I hadn't given him a forewarning or anything. So, you know, we met at the bank. He was done work. I was done work. We both went there. And essentially, it was the woman that we were meeting with, our air quote financial advisor, who told him there's a lot of debt there. And he was like, what? So he knew about the pool. He knew that was going to be expensive. And yeah, that was $60,000 worth of debt. But he did not know about the other 40. So he was very disappointed in me. I will never forget the look on his face when I looked at him and he was just looking at me with pure disappointment. And that was my moment in time where I was like, I love this man so much. And he has never looked at me once like this through the 20 years of marriage that we've been together. It killed me. It really did. Like, I just, you know, if you knew my husband and he's super happy-go-lucky and like he's always looking at the positive, that pure disappointment in his eyes was enough to just jolt me right out of my stupidity. Because the credit ran out, it all came crashing down. I was no longer able to hide it. I was essentially outed, and I felt awful. When my husband looked at me with that sheer disappointment in his eyes, I knew I never wanted him to look at me that way again. I knew I had to make things right. But it wasn't over. I had to be sure I never did anything like this again. I knew that. So I had to find answers because I knew what I was doing when I was doing it. But I did not know why I continued to do it, even though I knew I shouldn't be doing it. And I had to understand why. Even though I knew it was all a mistake, why did I continue to behave like that? So I went on a search, a little journey, looking for help, trying to figure out what was going on with me. I tried a lot of different things. I really thought it had something to do with the fact that I had put on weight and I just wasn't happy with myself. I honestly can say that that was my original idea. This must be why I'm doing it. So I don't feel good in my body. So I must be doing it in other ways to make myself happy. So after trying many different things, I met a health coach. She offered me a chance to work with her. And it was a freebie thing, and I signed up as a last resort because I thought, what the hell? I've got nothing to lose. This probably won't work, just like every other program I've done. It won't work. But I thought, okay, I've got nothing to lose, so I'm signing up. And I had no idea what I was getting into. I thought it was another, you know, diet and exercise program. And I knew this coach because she was my spinning instructor, and she just happened to have signed up for a program to become a health coach, and she needed a couple of clients, free trial clients, to learn from. So I was like all in because I had a lot of admiration for her, and I took it seriously because I had so much respect for her. So I showed up every week for this coaching call that we had. So I quickly realized that this was not a typical diet and exercise program. This was coaching, and shit was getting real. Okay, I had never worked with a coach before, so I didn't even know what to expect. So I started learning about how my feelings were affecting my behavior, and I quickly realized and became very aware that my excessive spending wasn't about the money, and it wasn't about the weight. It was these underlying feelings that were driving me to overspend. I felt the need to overcompensate for things I didn't feel good about, and I wasn't equipped to deal with. So this was really surprising to me. I had often wondered if I was unhappy, but I had always considered myself to be a happy person, okay? I love my husband. We've had a great relationship over our 20 plus years of marriage and being together. We have two great teenagers. I have an excellent job, had great friends. Nothing seemed to be off, yet it was really, really off for me. I just did not feel fulfilled. As I worked with my coach, we started peeling back the layers. You know, like there was a couple of life events that were going on that were challenging me, and we explored them. And as we dug further, anybody who's been through coaching knows that it's just digging and digging and digging, right? So much to my surprise, after months of peeling back the layers, actually, I shouldn't even say months. It was like maybe 8 weeks. It came to the fact that I wasn't living my true purpose. I always hear, you know, like, make sure you're living your purpose and stuff like that. And I always wonder, what's my purpose? I don't know what my purpose is. But over the years, I always had this strong desire to become an entrepreneur. And I was very held back. I had tried it once. I had built a website. I think it was back in 2012. Built a website and basically put my, okay, I'm up for business sign out there, and nothing. It was crickets. And I didn't know what else to do. And this was really before social media had started. Well, it started, but it hadn't blown up yet and stuff, right? And I didn't know how to become an entrepreneur. I just knew what I wanted to do to become an entrepreneur. I always wanted to be a money coach. My first career move was being a social worker. So I had done that for a few years. But I realized when I was being a social worker, if I wanted to have a family, first of all, like I would be emotionally spent at work all day helping others, that I'd have nothing left to give my family at the end of the day. And I didn't want that. And I also wanted an occupation that would make me more money because, you know, the honest to God truth is I do like to live a nice lifestyle. So I knew I had to work hard for it. So then I became an accountant. Don't ask me why. I have no idea. Maybe it's because my older sister was one. I don't know. Seemed like a good profession to get into. So I pursued my CPA. And that consumed me for a few years. And I got my CPA when my kids, actually my second was born when I received it. And I was working full time and raising two children. Life was busy. So when I did open that business, I didn't really know what to do, and it just wasn't a success and it didn't fly. But I always had that feeling of like, okay, there's more out there. You should be doing more. You should be doing more. But I kept ignoring it. And it never really felt like the right time, or I had no idea how to start a business, or I had extreme fear of what if I failed. I had a list of excuses that went on and on. It was a feeling that surfaced for me and surfaced strongly for years, but I tried to ignore it and suppress it. Until I started working with my coach, I realized, oh my God, that's what I've been missing. That's exactly what I want to do. I want to start my own business. I want to get out of my great job that everybody seems to think that, you know, you're crazy if you leave, because like I said, it's a golden ticket. But it's not that I had a bad job, and it's not like I hated what I was doing. I liked the people I worked with. I had no complaints, but it just wasn't fulfilling me. I just felt like I was doing something that I didn't really want to do. I did not buy into all the office politics. I tend to be a little bit more expressive than I should be at work. And I'm all about fun and social and whatever. And, you know, not that I didn't work hard, but I was working with accountants who tend to be introverted. I am introverted as well, but I do like to talk. And working with people who just didn't really suit my personality type, and sitting in a cubicle from 9 to 5 and just not getting outside and fresh air. And as the years went on, I started to think, like, work is getting the best hours of my life, and I'm not doing what I want to do when I'm here. Like, I want to exercise every day. I want to go out in the sunshine. I want to play sports. I want to have time for me. I don't want to spend all my day at work and then come home and feel exhausted, because it's exhausting to do what you don't love to do. Every day that I worked with my coach, I felt so grateful. And she was so good at what she does, and she helped me peel those layers back and get to the root of the issue. For that, I am so grateful, because she walked me through the fear too. And literally, from the time I realized that I wanted to become an entrepreneur to the time I put it into action, it was like 2 weeks, okay? I did some research. I decided exactly what direction I was going to go in. I took a coaching program and I started my business. And I started in January of 2020, just before the pandemic hit. But it was a great year of 2020. It was a year of lots of mistakes and lots of learning, lots of growing. There's tons of personal growth involved when you become an entrepreneur. And every day I felt like I was living my life. It was the most, and it still is, the most amazing feeling. Like, I'm doing what I love. And what I love is I'm a business finance coach. I've taken all my accounting and business knowledge and I've combined it with my social work skills. And I work with people, entrepreneurs, that I can help on a daily basis. Help them learn their numbers. Help them understand the value of knowing your numbers when you're running your business. And I do this and I love it, because we have personal relationships. I help people grow and learn, and it feels fantastic. I mean, I know it sounds super cheesy, but I just love it. I love the clients that I work with. I get to choose who I work with. So if I'm doing something that's not bringing me joy, I don't have to do it. And I love that. So starting my entrepreneurial journey, I enjoy every minute of helping women manage their money and talk about the feelings that come up with money, because money is an emotionally charged subject. It is like such an emotionally charged topic. Look at what I did with my money. I blew it. It brings up a lot of personal issues for people. So I love to help them through that. I feel that the mistake that I made makes me more qualified to help other people understand their relationship with money. I've not worked with a client yet who didn't have a deep-seated emotions around money and their relationship with money. We work through those emotions, every single one of them, because it's important to take control of your financial situation. It's important to look at your money and realize money is just a tool. That's it. For whatever reason, we carry this emotional baggage about money, and chances are your money messages are coming from you right from your childhood. You probably have messages coming at you about money that you weren't even aware of. I know I did. And it's possible to have a positive relationship with money. When you strip away all the emotions around money, you'll see it's a tool. It's a currency that we use to exchange goods and services. Yet all of us have so many emotions tied to it. And that's okay. But what's not okay is ignoring our self-care and dealing with the feelings that make us human. Being on the other side of this lesson, I am so grateful that I went through it. Having experienced this myself, I find it helps me to better relate to my clients and other women because I understand what it's like. I've been the master of money, I've spiraled out of control, and yet I returned to living a positive relationship with money all over again. I've felt the shame, I've done the walk of shame, but I turned it into something positive to help others with. Now that I'm on the other side of this transformation, I can tell you with complete honesty that it was worth the work to get here. My life has changed so much. I went from being, you know, now that I look at it, completely unhappy. Like, that's how it feels, because I am so much more vibrant now. I'm so much more alive, and I'm learning and growing and loving the journey. So suppose you're experiencing trouble with your relationship with money. In that case, I encourage you to take the opportunity to explore it further. If you're an entrepreneur who's struggling with your business finances, your personal finances, or even both, I encourage you to explore this further by booking a complimentary discovery call with me to identify the key areas you can start looking at now in order to transform your relationship with money and achieve your financial goals. You can book this call at melissahoustoncpa.com/work with me. When you're in control of your money, you manage your money well. You're set up for financial success. Not only are you well on your way to saving $1 million, but you'll feel like $1 million too. Thanks for listening to the Think Like a CFO podcast with Melissa Houston, CPA. If you've enjoyed this episode, leave us a review. Your ratings and reviews help more people like you find our podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe and share this episode with someone you think would love it. Until next time, I'm Melissa Houston, and remember, nobody will ever care about your business as much as you do. So never give your financial power away.